session of Radio Up. We are commencing stress management session number 3, as best I know. So just to recap for members who have not been here, or members that are joining for the first time, we did a general group discussion about how we feel about stress, how we deal with stress, what our relationship with stress is like, and I gathered that people know what stresses them out. People know what they should be doing when they feel stressed, like positive coping strategies such as talking to a friend, looking for support, taking a walk, taking a break. Members were very knowledgeable in this area. We also knew what not to do when feeling stressed, like isolating ourselves, like drinking heavily, and things like this. And so we realized that the issue was not a question of what should we do when we're stressed, but how can we prevent feeling stressed or coping with the stress before it becomes unbearable. So then we looked at, well, first we need to know what we can control and what we cannot control. So we had a discussion and we categorized some areas of our lives, the controllable and the uncontrollable. So things that we could control, for example, were our reactions to events. We figure we can't control people, but we can control ourselves. We could not control prices at the grocery store, for example, but we can control where we shop and how we spend our money. And you get the picture. It went on like this. So then we looked a little closer at, let's say, we can't control our relationships and the people's responses to things, but we can control the way we communicate in response to other people. So last week we looked at avoiding a stressor and how to do that. So we did some practicing of using the skill of assertiveness. So we role played a few scenarios where you were asked to do something that maybe you didn't like, or you didn't want to cause conflict in a relationship with someone that was important to you. So we looked at how to respectfully and tactfully, while openly expressing your needs, say no. And so that brings us to this week. This week we are looking at stress management strategy number 3, which is called alter the situation. So we are going to refer now to this PowerPoint presentation. Leslie, the link that you have should be updated.
Okay.
So we're going to look at the PowerPoint presentation. Is there a member who would like to read for me, please?
Me.
Alter the situation.
Yes, exactly. Alex, you've got next.
Stress management strategy number 2, after the situation.
Alter.
So number 1, figure out what you can do to change things so the problem doesn't present itself in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, often this involves changing the way you communicate and operate in your daily life. Mm-hmm. Number 3, how.
So we're at the question of how. Well, there's 4 things here that we can do, some of which we've covered already. Is there someone who would like to read the 4 steps?
Too far.
Somebody else?
I can read it.
Okay. Express
your feelings instead of bottling them up.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Be more assertive. Reframe the way you look at it.
Perfect. So last week we worked on how we can be more assertive. And this week we're going to be looking at reframing the way you look at it as a strategy for altering the situation. Okay? Everybody still with me?
Yes.
Great. So, what is reframing? If I go like this, can you see or no?
Yeah. You want me to read it?
Yes, please.
Reframing is a way that you can't alter our perception of stressor and do's release significant amount of stress and create a more positive life before actually making any changes in our circumstances.
Right. So what this is saying is that even before you come up with a fascinating schedule of how to manage your life, even before you create a budget to help with your financial problems, even before you go see a professional for something you might need help with, before all of that, we can simply, not simply actually, but we can reframe the way that we look at the scenario that will decrease the unpleasant feelings that we have when we're faced with the stressful event and already start to relieve the tension that we're feeling. Because I think something we've gathered already is that it's not so much the external event that's happening, it's the way we feel in response to it. You don't want to move, you don't want to do anything, you don't want to start tackling the problem because it just feels so icky. So instead, we're going to be just reframing the way we look at it to alleviate some of that tension before we move on to the tangible hurdles. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
All right, great. Okay, so we have what we call common thinking traps. So these are negative thoughts that we use in our self-talk. It's like something happens and your immediate thought is like, it's a negative perception. So I'll give an example. Like I failed a class about a year ago in special care counseling. So immediately I was like, oh, I failed. I don't belong in this program. I'll never succeed in this program. Now, obviously that's not the case because I'm here with you today, but my immediate response was negative. So I would like, if you can take one of these and pass it down. I'm going to show a scenario, and this is somebody's responses to the scenario, and each statement on it is an example of negative self-talk or a thinking trap that we might find ourselves in. So once everybody has a copy, I will read out this scenario, and you can take a look at those, and we'll read them aloud together once we've looked at the scenario.
So these are positive.
No, absolutely not. We'll get to positive later. These are certainly negative.
Okay. Because I read common thinking traps, so I thought these were either positive or negative.
No, they're all negative, and okay. Then we're going to move forward to all positive.
All right.
Okay, so scenario. Can someone read out this scenario for us?
You have been friends with Amanda for over a decade. In 2012, she gave you a kidney. Life has gotten quite busy since then, so now you meet once a month for dinner. Amanda arrived 1 hour later.
Yes. Late. So Amanda's your friend. In fact, she's a very good friend because she gave you a kidney in 2012. And, you know, you both have your lives going on. You're extremely busy, but you still make time for each other once a month for dinner. And now you're supposed to meet up for supper, and Amanda shows up 1 hour late. So these pages that you hold in front of you are some of the common thinking traps that someone in this situation was facing. So first we have all or nothing thinking. Can someone read to me what the thought was for all or nothing thinking?
People always take me for granted.
Great. So how can we know that this is all or nothing? There's one specific word in this statement.
Always.
Always. So she's not happy because her friend was late, but she's automatic. Sorry, I'm assuming her gender. They're automatically saying this person, people always take me for granted. Okay? So the next one is overgeneralization. Can someone read that?
People are so rude, they have no integrity, and can never count on anyone.
Thank you, Jose. Go ahead, you were going to say.
I would say so, no, and never.
Absolutely. So, because?
So.
It adds emphasis, I would say. People are so rude.
And never and no.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Alex. Okay, and what about mental filter?
I do everything for everyone else and nobody puts me first.
Can we spot the key words there?
Everything?
Yes.
Everyone?
Yes. And one more?
Nobody.
Excellent. I do everything for everyone else and nobody puts me first. Come on. All right, so disqualifying the positive. What about that one?
She only agrees and showed up for dinner because she felt obligated.
So here we're totally excluding the positive. And what are the key words in this one?
Agreed.
I'm going to challenge that one. It comes right before agreed.
Only.
She only. Right? All right. What about jumping to conclusions?
I knew I couldn't trust her.
Yeah. So we've gone from, okay, she's late. We're not sure why she's late. Something could have happened. We're skipping many other steps to just right away, I knew I couldn't trust her. All right, this next one. I had to look at this one twice to spot the keywords. So magnification and minimization.
Yes, I don't care if she's nice and she gives me her kidney, her left kidney. Whatever, she's late, she shouldn't have left me waiting.
Alex, you're laughing. Can you tell me what the magnification was?
I would say I don't care is a magnification.
Yeah.
Whatever would be a minimal.
Yes.
Minimization.
And what is the act that she's minimizing here?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. She did what?
She gave a kidney.
She gave me her kidney, but whatever.
Oh,
boy. All right. So moving on, we have emotional reasoning.
I don't care if it was an if there was an accident. I had to sit alone for an hour.
Okay, so I don't care if there was an accident. I had to sit alone for an hour. So it's emotional. You're not concerned with what other circumstances there are, but you felt lonely and you were waiting for an hour. So it's an emotional response. Okay, should statements. James, are you up for one?
Sure. She should have been considerate and left earlier like I did.
She should have. Should is the key word there. Because I know so much that she should have done whatever. So this is a thinking trap. Labeling and mislabeling.
She is so rude and selfish, she's only think of herself.
Mm-hmm. So what is the labeling that's happening in that
sentence? She's rude.
Yeah. What else?
She's selfish.
Yeah. And?
She only thinks about herself.
All kinds of labels we've given her. And last but not least, we have?
Personalization. Mm-hmm. If she has cared more about me, she wouldn't have been on time. She would have been on time. She knows how I hate waiting.
Right.
I would say she would, she knows, she had.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. Whoever is speaking, sorry, is personifying this friend. If she cared more, she would have been on time. She knows how I hate waiting. So you're absolutely right. So what are our general impressions about these thinking traps?
Happens quite often.
I would agree. Can we maybe share some examples of a scenario or a thinking trap that you yourself might have used? I can go again. I've got plenty. Mostly doing with school. Like I shared before, I failed this class, so there's no way I can succeed in this program.
I would say magnification and minimization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, Lunch at Up House is late today.
Mm-hmm.
You minimize the lunch, like how important it is.
Right.
And you magnify, oh my God, it's so late.
Right.
That's
Alex,
a good example.
Yes, it is. You took my words. It is a perfect example. Any others?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out under which category it falls, though.
Well, you can say it, and we can help to categorize it.
Okay, so it's, she hasn't contacted me in a while. She obviously doesn't care about me or what's going on.
Okay, members, where do we think that goes? She hasn't contacted me in a while. She obviously doesn't care about me.
Maybe emotional reasoning.
Emotional reasoning.
It's just an example, Imad. So, yes, emotional reasoning, because she obviously doesn't care about me. And I would also say personalization, because we're making it about her. Let's see. Could there be another?
Jumping to conclusions?
Yes, I would agree, Nobuko. Jumping to conclusions, the conclusion being that she doesn't care about me. Okay? Thank you, Leslie, for your example.
No problem.
Any other?
No.
No. All right, no problem with that. So now we're moving into the positive shift of things. How can we reframe it? So you all know that I will have some sort of recommendation for how we can reframe it, but I would like to know, how do you think we can reframe these types of thinking traps?
With logical reasoning, I guess?
Yes. Can you give me
any positivity?
Yes. Positivity and logic are two strong points there, Alex. Any other ideas? I love it. I will reveal. Leslie, were you going to say something?
No.
Okay.
No.
So, we can start by asking key questions. Are the things you're telling yourself even true? That's the first question. Is what I'm thinking true? So in my case, does failing one class mean that I cannot succeed? Really? The answer is no. In the moment, it certainly felt like yes. But if I step back, even later on that day, an hour later, a few hours later, when I'm feeling better and I'm in a more positive situation, I was able to say, okay, so it just means that I'll have to take this class again. I'll have to submit my work on time, you know? And then I was able to just kind of say, well, it's just a bit of a bump in the road. Not always easy, but possible. So what are some other ways to interpret the same set of events? If we go back to our friend here who's waiting for her friend for supper, what are some other ways she could have interpreted that event, that her friend is late?
Wow, I'm so lucky to be at a restaurant, to have supper with my friend, but she's running a little bit late.
Yes.
Instead of making it like over dramatic.
Yes, exactly. I think also she could have been thinking about other possible scenarios. So if my friend knows I don't like waiting and yet she's late, it must mean something was out of her control. Mm-hmm. The metro could have stopped. This car accident that had her held up in traffic. You know, there's other possible reasons that are not totally zeroed in on me. It's not about me, it's external circumstances.
Jay?
Yes?
The one I used about,
person not calling?
Yeah, I mean, could that be changed to, I haven't heard from her in a while, she must be really busy, or?
Absolutely, yes. That is a yes. And you can go one step further, can you? Do you think you can?
One step further?
Yeah. She must be really busy.
So I'm going to call her?
You had also said it must mean she doesn't care about me.
Right.
Is there a way you can reframe that part?
She cares about me, but she's...
freaking out.
No, I can't figure out.
Okay, so depending on the relationship that you have with a person, it sounds like you already figure that they care about you.
Right.
So I would eliminate that she doesn't care about me, and I would just say she must be really busy. Maybe I can give her a call and see what's going on. And then you'll have an answer, because you'll know what's going on, and you won't be left to come up with, you know, these other scenarios.
Right.
Okay. And then the last point here says, which ways of seeing things serve you better?
I guess the positive.
Positive, yes.
Certainly.
Positive is better, but negative is faster thinking.
Yeah. So what, okay, we know that positive is better. Mm-hmm. And it's a, I'm going to say why. Why is positive better?
It's,
yeah, go ahead, Leslie.
I was just going to say it's motivating. It's you know, positive thinking, positive thoughts, and I don't know. That's
yeah. Well, that you're there. Positive thinking, these motivating thoughts, they help us just to feel better. Like, you know, the connection with the way that we're thinking and then how we feel overall, it does affect us. Like, when we're choosing to look at the positive and we're choosing to focus on the positive thoughts, we almost can't control the fact that it's going to have a positive effect. And then that's what equips us to have a better outlook of life, have a better outlook of events and relationships and circumstances that take place. Now, it's not a, I don't want people to think that I think it's easy to do. It's like we did with the assertiveness. It's practice. When we start to include it in our daily lives, it becomes part of us. If I can share, like, I have people who often are like, oh, Jade, you're so happy all the time, and you're smiling all the time, and, you know, but I make the choice to be happy, and I've been working on it for a long time. So you may see the, you know, the smiles, but for sure, there was a period where they weren't so frequent, and I had to make that choice to be like, well, at least today I get to go to Up House and be with really cool people, and whatever happens after, well, that's after. Okay, enough about me. So, moving on. I thought I was funny. So, anybody want to read this slide?
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yes, exactly. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. So, using those questions that we just looked at, in other words, intervene on your negative thought pattern before it leads to uncontrollable stress. So that's what I mean by check yourself. All right. Yes.
Can I just I hope this isn't off topic, but how do you change your thoughts to a positive thought, or how do I say this? Like, how do you stop and change it to a positive thought just like that?
Well,
go ahead.
I would not say that it's just like that. In a future session, we're going to see. But one of the things that's recommended is that we first have to notice them. Now, it's a very practical method, and it's journaling. When something happens that's uncomfortable or causes you stress, it is going to sound elementary, but a lot of the coping skills that we use in life are elementary, and we make it a little more difficult. But what you can do is you write down the stressful event and all of the thoughts that you have associated with that event. Okay?
Right.
And then not at the same moment. Maybe, let's say it happens in the morning before bed, you can look at it because you may be feeling in a different state. You might have had a positive thing that happened after, and you look back and you can see, okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different negative thoughts. And then you're looking back at them when you no longer have them or when they're not so prevalent, and you're saying, how can I reframe this? And that practice, if you're doing it every day, like I was for a long period of time, you start to reflect, and it becomes a part of your language, the reframing part, the positive. It becomes part of your habits. So it's certainly not just like that, Leslie, and I don't want anyone to think that it's just like that. It's a process, and in fact, it can be a lifelong process, but the results are worth it. So my answer to your question would be to keep a journal and write down the thoughts so that you can reflect and reframe them.
Okay.
And that is the best that I can give you with the tools that I have.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah. I'll save it for another time.
Okay. So I have a handout. Okay, we're going to trade handouts. So if you can pass all of those down towards Jose, and Jose, you just leave them on the table or pass them back. And then you'll take one of these and pass it on. And it's exactly what appears on the screen. So.
Here you go.
It It's a bit of a continuation of how we were just reframing some of this person in the scenario's thoughts and some of our own examples. But I would like, as best as possible, that we each take a turn to try to reframe one of the statements that I gave us on the handout before. So, you ready already? You're going to read? All right, go for it.
Negative statement. I'm a failure. Positive reframe. I'm learning.
Excellent.
I'm so stupid, I can't believe I did that. Reframing. I made a mistake and I'm so glad I've learned from it. I'm such a jerk. I was so wrong to do that. Reframing it. I know what I did was wrong. I'm just glad I'm a better person now. I make my amend to and I'm free. Be free.
Great. Thank you, Josie. So I know we did some examples together. And I would like, you can choose one that we have on the paper here. So I'll read some of them again. Or you can think of an example that you've used in your own life and we can work together to reframe them. Is that okay with people?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can work on it together. So I'm going to use one that is rather recent. So yesterday, I knew that I had to, I knew that I had to animate the stress management workshop today.
And you were stressed out.
I was not exactly stressed out because I know that I'm capable. Yeah. I know that I've done it before and I know that I can do it. However, I wasn't able to find the materials that I wanted to use. Like I knew I wanted to have examples and I knew I wanted to have something that tangible that people can use. So I spent like 20 minutes looking and I was like, okay, forget it. Like I can't find it. I'll just create my own. And then it's like 9 p.m. and I'm like, okay, I'm running out of time. So I got on again and I'm like, what can I search instead of what I'm already searching? So I must have put like thinking traps or negative thoughts and it was giving me stuff, but not what I wanted.
Say that, Jade?
Yes, sir.
Does that mean you imagine someone else so you can learn for yourself?
Well, actually, you imagine yourself in
you
a more...
You negative and so you become positive.
You might be feeling negative and then you imagine yourself in the positive to be able to use positive language
That's
and change
my grandfather used to tell me.
Howell.
Imagine yourself that person and tell him like you want to speak to yourself.
Yeah, so you can have a more positive outlook. So anyway, I was beginning to get on top of myself saying, well, oh, you left this to the last minute. You should have done it before. And if you did it before, you wouldn't have been in this position. Now, the truth is I have a very busy schedule and I use the time that I have in the way that I can. So instead of telling myself, well, you left it to the last minute and now you're not able to get it done, I had to say, you've made the most of the time that you had and this is where we are now. So let's move forward. And obviously here I am, so I made it. Alex?
I have an example. Like,
yes,
let's say your negative statement would be, there's no way I can do that.
Yes.
And the positive statement will be like, oh, well, maybe I can try and see if I can succeed.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Bingo. anybody else with an example? It doesn't have to be, complex like my dilemma last night, but something easy just like Alex shared.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So the question is, so if you say I'm a failure, let's say, mm-hmm. are you supposed to turn that around immediately or it's something like you said you save for later, before you go to bed to journal it or something?
So you're working towards being able to change it immediately, but we cannot immediately change it immediately. So you first have to practice, for example, by the journaling. And that will build the habit so that you're eventually able to, in a moment's time, say, oh, wait, I caught myself. I'm doing that negative thinking thing. So hang on. I'm not a failure. I'm able to try and see if I can succeed or get help to succeed. So to answer your question, it's not immediate. You build in steps and then you will develop this skill. And it may never be immediate, but it might go from spending 1 year having the same negative thought to 6 months, to 3 months, to 3 weeks, to 1 week, to 1 day. You know, it may never be immediate, but the idea is to decrease the time that you spend having the negative thought and be able to reframe into the positive.
Okay. Do you have to, what time does this finish, this course, today?
Well, generally I go for about 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And the last step right now is just to have people trying to practice reframing negative statements.
Okay, so if you cannot, so you're in a situation and you say to yourself, I'm a failure, mm-hmm. and you can't change your thought right away, and you get sucked down the rabbit hole, you know, into now it's ruining whatever it is you're trying to do, or you stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point, you know, that for people who cannot, like myself, who cannot change the thought to a positive thought right away.
Mm-hmm. So then the recommendation, I guess you could say, would be to implement the things like journaling into your schedule, into your life, your routine, because it will begin to build that. And when you are sucked into the rabbit hole, as you say, then you might need to seek external resources, things that you can't do on your own, which is not my domain. I give the tools that we can manage for ourselves, but like a social worker or a therapist who might be able to give you concrete tools, you know, like the cognitive behavioral treatment,
right.
and things like this. But those are out of my domain for sure, but I know they're available when you're not there yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So any final examples, because I am going to bring us to a close. James, go for it.
When I was married, I was often giving gifts to my wife as just a plus.
Yeah, surprises.
Yeah. And just recently I went to Walmart and they had a lava lamp.
Uh-huh.
So I bought the lava lamp for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it to her, and apparently she's been wanting one for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a link there.
So you, what was the thought that you were having before you made the gesture?
Well, she won't want this. What am I doing? You know, it's a lava lamp.
But you did it. So you must have said, well, I'm going to do it anyway and see what happens. So somewhere you had a thought that changed from, well, she won't want this, to, I'm going to try and see what happens. Neat. Any final examples? Thank you, James. Great. So to close, I'm going to reiterate, like we did with the assertive communication and saying no to things that will you want to avoid and things that will cause you stress, in the same way we have to practice reframing the negative thought into a positive. And like I was explaining earlier, we're going to see how you can create a journal and how you can use this journal to keep track of those thoughts. In order to practice your reframing. So that's all for me, folks. Any questions, comments, concerns?
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. All right, that's all. See you next Thursday.
Thank you, Jay.
Hi, this is Jane, and you're listening to Radio Up at www.radio-up.org. Stay tuned and keep listening.